David could not have picked a better song tonight for the lesson that we're going to share together. And we're going to move away from tradition tonight, and we're going to do a PowerPoint up here tonight. Is that all right? Amen? Okay. Now, I want to talk about one of the biblical characters of the Old Testament. And he was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived in ancient times. His name was Elijah. And many of you remember the great stories of Elijah in the Old Testament. Now, if you brought your Bible and you want to read along, I'm going to be reading about 18 verses here, but they're all going to be up here, by the way. But we're going to be talking about the five mistakes that Elijah made in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes we get the feeling that maybe all the prophets of God were everything that they ought to be, and that they made no mistakes. If they were inspired, and they were inspired men, for 2 Peter chapter 1 says that our prophecy came not to you in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. So we know that those words that we read about in the Old Testament, those prophecies that have been given, certainly were given by inspiration of God. They didn't fall from the lips or from the pen of any man without having been inspired of God. And so anyway, with that in mind tonight, we're going to read verses, actually 1 down through verse 18. It's a little bit lengthy reading. I have it up here, though, and you can read along if you like. The Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, Let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He said, It is enough now, O Lord, take my life from me. He said, For I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, the angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he did eat and he drank and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Almighty God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him again. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. He said, They have thrown down thine altars, and they have slain thy prophets with the sword. And he said, And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake it the pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face with his mantle and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him saying, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel again have forsaken thy covenants. They've thrown down thine altars. They've slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Bel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, he said, that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now, when you read that, you almost look, it looks like Elijah is in the throes of depression. And he didn't have any Prozac to take. he was really having great problems here, folks. There was no psychiatrist, there was no one to whom he could talk but the Almighty. And so now he begins to pour out his heart unto God. And he begins to tell God a very dismal story. This man's ready to die. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you felt so sorry for yourself that you'd just rather get out of this world? You don't have any desire at all to live any longer. I've counseled with people like that. As a matter of fact, I have preached funeral services for people who actually took their life and committed suicide. Now, you know, it's almost beyond us that someone could find their life to be so dismal that they would do that. It's hard for us to believe that an NFL player out in California could be so depressed that he himself had everything going for him, but yet he could be so depressed that he decides that he's going to take his life. Through the years in this congregation, we have had people who have stood on the brink, if you will, of depression to the point that they've taken their lives. And it's a great tragedy, it really is, and I've always felt so sorry for families. You would think that surely there's some way that we might be able to reach out to those people in some way or another. But I want to talk to you tonight about the 5 mistakes of Elijah in this story. Now, I don't know how many of you picked up on some of those mistakes that he made, but they are common. What you see in this story about Elijah actually could be said of us many, many times. Not that we might get that depressed, but I can tell you that some of the mistakes that he made are common to folk in today's world. Let me share with you what they are. Now, you're not going to find those on the PowerPoint, so you're going to have to listen up closely, okay? You have to do that on Sunday night anyway. Let me tell you, first of all, that Elijah made the mistake of throwing a pity party. Now, I'm telling you, folks really enjoy pity parties. When we're down and out, we like to get people to get into that pity party with us. In verse 4, he begins to tell God, he says, "Lord, I have had enough." You see, the problem with a pity party, when you have one, you don't want to party alone. You don't. You want to bring somebody into that party with you, and you will generally invite others to share your pity. And that's exactly what Elisha is doing here. He doesn't know where to turn, however, and so he turns upward. Can't turn outward because they've all forsaken God, he says. They've broken down the altars. They have denied the covenant that they had with God. They have slain the other prophets. And Elijah now is on the run. He is a man who is trying to get away for his life, but then he gets so depressed over all of it, he stands and he says, "God, just take my life. I've had enough." You know, many, many times the things that we count as spiritual warfare are really pity parties. It amazes me sometimes how we do that in our life, how we become people much like Elijah. Maybe somebody did us wrong, and we're going to carry that with us, and we're going to party all of our lives in pity over something that happened years ago. I've been around people that did that. I've been around people that sometimes are so jealous and envious of other people, maybe even their success, and maybe they're in the same profession, and they think, well, you know, who do they think they are? And they start running them down and tearing them down, and they're so jealous and they're so filled with envy and animosity over their success that they have a pity party about themselves. Elijah was having a pity party. And it is a tremendous mistake for people to make. I'm telling you it is. When people have that tendency or that propensity to get into a mode of pity, it is time for us to change that mode into a mode of praise to God. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel better when you're having a pity party? Or do you feel better when you're praising God? Now, that's a question of rhetoric because I know the answer to that question already. You don't have to tell me. I can tell you feel better when you're praising God than when you are in the depths of depression and when you are wallowing in self-pity. And many times we find ourselves doing that. We do. And we think our problems are the worst problems in all of the world. Let me tell you another mistake he made. And I'm telling you, that really is something that is common to the world. But there's another problem that another mistake that he made. Elijah was living in the past. You ever been around people that always talk about the good old days? You ever been around people that like to live in the past? How many of you drive an automobile today? And how many of you have ever said about that automobile, they don't make them like they used to? You ever heard them say that? I've heard people say it many, many times. I've heard them say it about everything almost. I've heard people talk about clothes in the same way. Women, they go to buy a dress and they get it home and they say, well, I'll tell you one thing, they sure don't make it like they used to. And everything is made in China. You ever heard that one? Everything is made in Vietnam. And they don't make them like they used to. And we live in a palace. Folks, let me tell you something. With the state of America, be thankful that you got clothes to wear from China. Be glad that somebody is making those dresses and those coats like Adam bought me. I think Diane had a hand in that too. I'm going to wear that next Sunday, Adam. Elijah was living in the glory of the past. You see, Elijah remembered what it was like when everybody was honoring God and Israel was strong. And I hear people talk about that today. They say, well, you know what? The church isn't what it used to be. And we look at it universally and we say, well, you know what? I remember when the church of Christ was a strong, vibrant people in the world, and we're not strong today. Let me tell you something. The church is still strong. It is. You know what we do sometimes? We listen to what other people say who are in a negative vein. And all they want to talk about are the problems. And they don't want to talk about possibilities. We program ourselves to think in the negative most of the time. We do. In two places in this text, in verse 10 and in verse 14, we hear Elijah say, listen to what he says. He says, I have been zealous for the Lord. Listen to that. Been. He's a has-been. God's not interested in where you've been. He's concerned about where you are and where you're going with your life. And sometimes we need to realize, we look back on it, but that things were not quite as good as they were. Maybe as we made it up in our minds to be. And sometimes I think we would rather glory in the past accomplishments than to fight for the future. I'm going to tell you something. This is what I look at. I've had people ask me all the time. I say, how in the world were you able to stay at a place 40 years? Do you ever preach repeat sermons? No. I've preached on similar subjects. I mean, you couldn't do that, folks. I mean, how could I possibly not preach on the same subject in 40 years? You know, Moses kept preaching that same sermon when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness. Eat that manna. Bibe that quail. You folks here in East Texas just like to have a little quail every now and then, wouldn't you? I don't know about you. I like quail. But sometimes people like to look back on past accomplishments instead of saying, I'm going to tell you, My best sermon is yet to come. Oh, that's a reaction now, isn't it? Yeah, it's a vote of confidence. Yeah, thank you. Y'all could have said amen. Now, but Elijah was glorying in the past. He was thinking about where he was and what he had done. And now it's all over. The glory is gone. They've torn down the altars. They've broken the covenant with God. They've slain the other prophets. And he thinks, hey, I'm next. They're after me. I'm on the run. He didn't want them to kill him. So he says, God, you do it. God says, what are you doing in that cave? Get out of that cave. And Elijah made another mistake, which is common to all of us. Don't glory in the past. Don't do that. That's wrong. You don't have a pity party. But thirdly, he began to compare himself to other people. We do that a lot. If you read verse 14 in this text, George, go back to verse 14 up there. Can you get it back up there? All right. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left. He's comparing himself to the others. That's what he's doing. And they seek my life to take it away. Sometimes we look at the church today, universally speaking, and we begin to think sometimes that we're the only ones still preaching the gospel. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It ain't true. I know 31 churches and more than that even in the East Texas area that are still preaching and teaching the sacred message of Jesus Christ in its pristine beauty. Those are the congregations that work with us on the Give Me the Bible telecast. And, of course, many of you read in the bulletin last week. Today, we moved into the Waco, Gatesville area with our program. God opened another door for us, and we thank God for those down there who want to support this. And also down in the Bryan College Station area, all down through there. As a matter of fact, 751,000 potential viewers in that area alone. Do you realize that this congregation has been a catalyst through the years? And it is. And we are preaching the gospel around the world. We are doing what Christ has asked us to do, to go into all the world. Do you realize in the state of Texas alone, that we have a potential viewing audience of near 7 million people? We almost cover half of Texas with that program. Now, that's amazing to me. But not only are we doing that through the auspices of GBN, Gospel Broadcasting Network, Dish Network, Direct Satellite Network, we are preaching the gospel many, many places. The program is syndicated out in other states. That program is now an international program by way of the Gospel Broadcasting Network. Who would have ever thought? So when we begin to think, hey, the church isn't strong anywhere anymore, I'm going to tell you something. The church is very strong. And I thank God that He has kept the church strong. And when we begin to feel remorseful, we need to turn around, get off the pity pot, quit comparing ourselves to other people, and start serving God and realize that God is doing great things. Elijah tried to compare himself to other people, but another mistake he made, and that is that he began blaming others for his own troubles. Now get the picture here. Jezebel is chasing him. The Israelites had abandoned God. And so he begins immediately to blame other people for his problems. Now that's a common problem in today's world, isn't it? People blame other people. Why did you do this? You know. we need to step up the plate and accept responsibility for our own mistakes and for our own life. Remember Flip Wilson? You know, the devil made me do it. You remember that? The devil may have done it, but I'm telling you that he won't do it anyway. But he began to blame other people for his problems. And so he's ready to die. I know our time's getting away here tonight. But number five, there's another problem that he made. He exaggerated the problem. Let me tell you how we exaggerate the problem. We say, nobody is faithful anymore. We all have a tendency sometimes to maximize the problem, to blow it out of proportion, exaggerate it. And if we've put it on the scale, we try to put our foot on the scale to make it a little bit more major than it is. What could be a molehill, we make a mountain out of it. We do. You know the difference between a big problem and a little problem? A big problem is when it's mine. And a little problem is when it's yours. He said in verses 10 and 14, I am the only one left. Now you have to wonder if Elijah really felt that way. Or is he just saying that? It's kind of like little kids. You hear them say, you know, they want something at Walmart. I mean, they walk in and they say, well, Daddy, everybody has one. Do they? That's pretty good justification for getting it, isn't it? Everybody has one. That's a selling point. And so Elijah exaggerates the problem by saying, I'm the only one. But he wasn't the only one. And it's hard for me to believe down deep in my heart that Elijah really felt that he was the only one, but he's going before God, and he's telling God, why would he tell God that anyway? I mean, doesn't God know that? We need to turn our pity into praise. And don't make the mistakes that Elijah made. Let me give you some ideas on how to turn your pity into praise. Check your pulse. I want all of you to do this right quick, okay? Ben does this when they take people down to the funeral home, but I want you to do it tonight, okay? I want you to just put your thumb on your pulse. Y'all feel a beat? Those of you that don't, we'll call Ben. Now, you feel your pulse beating? You know what? We need to check our pulse every morning. And if it's still beating, you ought to thank God. You ought to praise God. And I don't care how bad it is in your life. You ought to thank God for another day of life. You need to take a real look at the condition of others in this world. And when we think it's bad for us, take a look at India. Take a look at people in South Africa with their little pot bellies and in their famished state and their emaciated look. Be thankful that you have something to eat. And thirdly, be careful what you say. Because Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful to the building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Watch your words. And then be careful what you think upon. Elijah was thinking about the problem instead of the possibility. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, if you're reading in the New International Version, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think on such things. Let me tell you why it's so important to watch your mind and what you think on. Because what you think on and what you get into your mind will get into your heart, and it will be expressed in your attitude. It will. I heard about a man one time. He said he walked into a room, and anyway, he said he saw a man, and he said, my first thought was, boy, he's ugly. He didn't smile. He had a sort of squinty, puffy eyes. He just wasn't very attractive at all. And then he says, then I realized I was looking in the mirror. I'm not saying that difficult times won't come. They will. But instead of being ready to throw in the towel and make that mistake like Elijah did, we need to realize, hey, God's in control here. And, you know, a remnant's going to be saved. The Bible says Christ is going to come for the elect's sake. And he will. And so instead of throwing a pity party, we should be throwing a praise party. And stop and think about those closing verses. George, can you go to that? That last passage there, verse 18. Notice this. It shall come to pass that he that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Because look at verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, Baal being idol worship, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. It would have changed his whole complexion of things. Would it not, had he realized that there are 7,000 back in Israel that have not bowed the knee, have not gone after Baal worship? Now, I'm telling you, there's some wonderful lessons in the Old Testament, and this has to be one of them. God says unto us, when we live, and Paul said it in the book of Galatians 6 and 9, he says, be not weary in well-doing, knowing that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to do something for me in the morning. Instead of getting out of bed and thinking about how bad you feel, and I'm going to tell you something, we all do that. Every one of us could talk about aches and pains. We could. Every one of us. Get up out of that bed and praise God that you are alive. And say, God, thank you for another day of life. Let me use this day to your glory and your honor. And it will change your perception of how you feel tomorrow. It will. If you're here tonight and you need the prayers of the Lord's church, if you'd like to obey the gospel by being baptized into Christ, you can do that. May God help us not to make the mistakes of Elijah ever. Not tomorrow, not the next day, never, ever. It is fatalistic to do so. Let us stand and let us sing.